All right, well, thanks again, everyone, for sticking around and listening to all of these great presentations on active transportation. It's always great to see different pieces of a really big puzzle come together and look at things from multiple dimensions. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-author here, my doctoral student, Danaya Sims. I have nothing interesting to disclose here, I'm sorry, which could be a little bit more interesting, but I'm not. You know, I'd like to think I'm preaching to the choir here in terms of the role of active transportation. For me, I'm particularly interested in active commuting, which is, of course, walking or biking to work for adults. Of course, we have active commuting for kids as well. There are countless studies that have shown the improved mental and physical health benefits associated with regular active commuting. So certainly something we should all be doing it. Despite that fact, we know that we're not doing it at near the rate that we really should be. So compared to other countries, we're really doing quite a dismal job with that. So national data suggesting that we have really only about 3 to 4% of people who are walking or biking to work on a regular basis. So we definitely have some room for improvement here. Now, if we look at the reasons why we choose to walk or bike to work, so since we have many different kinds of people here in the room, and I know when I sit at the table with transportation planners or some folks from my metropolitan planning organization, because I'm on the bicycle advisory board of our metropolitan planning organizations group. I always still remind everyone that active commuting is a behavior. It's something that we're choosing to do, and sometimes I have to remind the transportation folks that it is something that we are making conscious decisions for, against, and things like that. So for me, you know, we have a big range of things that impact whether or not people choose to actively commute to work. And if we look within a social ecologic framework, we have things at the individual level, which are, of course, things like demographics. We know that the older you are, the less likely you are to be an active commuter. Your health status, higher BMI, even things like psychosocial types of things, like having low self-efficacy for biking in an urban area. So there's all kinds of things at the individual level. We know at the environmental level, I mean, we've heard some great talks today about some great features that could potentially really help people to make an active choice on their way to work, with bike lanes, trails, crosswalks, pedestrian facilities, things to improve safety and things like that. So we have a wide range of things that we know that tend to be fairly important to influence people's choices. But we have a little bit less research in this area of the institution and how, you know, if we're going to work, what are some things that our workplace could potentially do to impact whether or not we actively travel? And when you think about it, you'd think that our employers would be very interested in whether or not we're getting in some activity on the way to work, because we know that if you're an active traveler, we have better productivity, we have better cognition, clarity, less stress, things like that is associated with a nice physical activity bout before work or things like that. So we think our employers would be very much on board with this. So that being said, we know that workplace policies can potentially be supportive of active commuting, though we're not sure how those policies overlap with actual participation in active commuting. So one of the things that I really wanted to do with this particular project, and we looked at some other data from other projects that we worked on and found a big difference between men and women and the things, we know men and women are very different in very many ways. But we know women in particular have some very low rates of active commuting. So I wanted to be sure that we examine these policies separately for men and women. So this particular study was a cross-sectional online survey administered through the Qualtrics program. And we partnered with employers, large employers, in virtually, I'd say the mid-Atlantic area is probably a good way to describe it. These were large employers, and we had them send out our email to invite participants to take our survey. And these essentially had to be people who were 18 years of age, who were employed full or part-time outside of the home. And we did ask a question if they were physically able to walk or bike, just to be sure that we were looking at the right population here. And we essentially asked people, I have campus in there. Spend too much time thinking about campus, so it should be work site there. But essentially, we just asked people to take part in a survey asking how they travel to work. So we didn't really kind of skew it and say they were really looking at active commuting. So that was essentially, we tried to make sure that we didn't bias our sample before we started. We asked about a number of things, our basic demographics, of course. We asked about commuting patterns. How many times a week do you typically walk, bike, drive, take public transportation if it's available in your community? And then we summed up the number of trips for walking and biking. We used that as our number of active commuting trips per week. And then we dichotomized that as having some active commuting or having no active commuting whatsoever. I will say I got a couple of emails from folks who said that we did not hit on their main form of transportation. One was canoeing and one was kayaking. So I'm afraid that they are not represented well here. I don't know that a lot of the questions were very applicable to them. So there were a couple of folks in the Washington area who, in Washington DC area, who lived like across the Potomac, and they said that it was so much faster for them to hop in a kayak and just go across the river. I'm like, good for you. That's some exercise too. So as far as the workplace was concerned, we had just asked people a simple yes or no question if their employers did any of these things to support active commuting for them, offering incentives for active travel, having promotions or events like National Bike to Work Week or Month or anything at all like that, National Bike Challenge, stuff like that. If they offered flexible work hours, because sometimes we know that that's important, flexible dress code, offered any kind of bike parking, having locker or changing rooms, or having policies related to bike storage, and that, you know, maybe you can bring your bike into your office, or something along those lines. So our statistical approach was fairly straightforward. We used a logistic regression to examine the likelihood of active travel to the workplace in relation to some of these workplace policies. We did run the analyses separately for men and women. We also used some basic statistics to look at any kind of differences between the men and the women. So first, let's take a look at the men here. Our sample was really not particularly remarkable, looking at young to middle-aged adult men with a overweight BMI. It was the mean for the group. Not a very low-income group, but only about 7% fell below the 200% of the federal poverty line. 92% were non-Hispanic white, and about 34% of the men were reporting active travel at least one day a week. So we were pleased to see that. Now, in terms of the kinds of things that the men were reporting that their workplace did for them for active commuting or active travel, we saw kind of a wide range here. So not a lot of incentives, but we did see some positive things like a flexible dress code, having lockers available and bike parking available and things like that. The men tended to report an awful lot of that. So when we looked at that in terms of how these policies or in things related with active commuting, we saw a couple of things for the men here. So having flexible work hours, having bike parking available, policies for bike storage, and having a flexible dress code were all found to be significantly related to active commuting for the men. Now, if we look at the women, so really wanted to make that point with the bold and the underline. So amongst the women, we did see that the women actually had our sample of women about the same age, but we had a lower BMI. Right around the same income level, and we had a significantly lower amount of women reporting active active travel to work. So this is not surprising whatsoever. I mean, there could be 100 studies out there and they're all going to show something very similar to that. I thought it was really interesting too here, if you look on the workplace policy side of this sled, that aside from the employer incentives, in which women reported a little bit more of this compared with the men, overall they reported fairly lower their lower presence of all these different kinds of policies and programs than the men did. So they were less likely to say that their employer was offering events or had things like bike parking or lockers or things like that. So there was definitely a lower availability of support at the workplace for the women. Now, in terms of the women's relationship with active commuting and some of these outcomes, we found quite a bit of significance. So I was really surprised that lockers being available was not significantly related, when we've seen that in many other studies that have shown that women are often concerned about appearance, about being neat and tidy and prepared for work and things like that. So I really felt like lockers was going to be significant. And of course it didn't turn out to be, because, you know, that's how that often goes. But I was really pleased to see that a lot of these things were working for the women. So when they reported these things being available, we had an increased likelihood of seeing them being an active traveler. So if we want to kind of go back and summarize the men and the women together, for the men, having flexible work hours, bike parking, bike storage, and a flexible dress code, all those things were supportive for the men, and the women had a couple of other things, including the incentives and the events and promotion, which are more kind of like a programmatic kind of element beyond the policy or the physical kinds of structures that we see with a lot of workplace initiatives. So to kind of bring this all together and say, well, what can we possibly do with this information? You know, it is important to note that there were some similarities, but there were also some differences in what could be influential. And for me, the incentives and the programs really stuck out for the women, maybe as a potential to capitalize on that as a way to improve active commuting participation for the women. We need to think about a broad range of strategies. We can't just throw a bike rack out in front of the building and expect that to work, right? We need to think across a lot of different types of approaches, from policies to physical infrastructure and things like that. The women did perceive a lot less support for their employer. Now, of course, because it was a self-report, measure, we were unable to determine if this was actually true. So we are limited with that. And of course, we can go back and forth with is it more important that they perceive that there's support, or is it more important that there's actually support? And, you know, I know several other things that I've heard being here in the past day or two. Sometimes we just need to tell people about the things that we already have. You know, so it's not if we need to build more bike racks and locker rooms and things like that. It's like, hey, maybe we need to tell people about the things we already have, just to you know, indicate that there is some support out there for active commuting. Of course, I'm always an advocate for building more bike racks and locker rooms and things like that anyway. So, a lot of these things fit very nicely within the League of American Bicyclists bike-friendly business program, where they look not only at the engineering aspect, which would encompass the locker rooms and the bike parking and things like that, but they also hit on some of those things that were relevant for the women, with the education and the encouragement piece, with the incentives, and the programming related to active commuting. So can't stress that enough as a potential way for kind of helping businesses move forward and kind of looking across all four of those E's. And as I said, we do have a number of limitations associated with this study. We didn't have really, you know, the most random sample. Although it was a good size sample, it wasn't random. And of course, we had to rely on self-report measures in terms of active travel, as well as the presence of any of these workplace policies or programs. So to wrap things up, you know, I think it is important for us to think about how active commuting participation differs by gender, and the things that influence active commuting participation are very different. So it's not a one-size fits all, and showing that we do need, in addition to the policy and the environment, we do maybe need some of those more programmatic aspects as well. So we need to think in a more complete sense and really hit on those four E's that we've seen in a couple of the our Safe Routes to School campaigns and bike-friendly communities as well. So, and that's all I got for you today. So thank you.